is one of life's finest assets. The auto inventor and manufacturer knew the power of encouragement because he had learned it as a young man. Memorable to him was a time in which, in the beginning of Henry Ford's career, he had made a drawing of his newly built engine for Thomas A. Edison. Young Ford had encountered criticism and ridicule, but most mechanical experts of the day were convinced that electrical carriages would be the popular passage cars of the future. But attending a dinner one evening with Edison, Ford began explaining his engine concept to men nearest him at the table. He noticed that Edison, seated several chairs away, was listening. Finally, the great man moved closer and asked the young inventor to make a drawing. When the crude sketch was complete, Edison studied it intently, then suddenly banged his fist on the table, saying to the young man, that's the thing. You have it. Years later, Ford recalled, the thump of that fist upon the table was worth worlds to me. We never know what little encouragement we may give may make drastic changes or differences in a person's life. Encouragement in all of its forms is designed to give a person confidence and courage to do something. Usually it turns out to be something great. Scripture encourages believers to trust in God and to rely on the enabling of the Holy Spirit. As we consider our study this evening, we'll find that the Bible teaches us that encouragement is necessary. Encouragement is to be transmitted by various means, dispensed with purpose, and received through meditation upon God's Word, an experience of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of Christians. Encouragement for the Christian. Don't give up. Do not give up, and do not give up on encouraging others, because encouragement is necessary. Encouragement is necessary for those who lead. Paul wrote to Philemon, for I have come to have much joy and comfort. That word can be translated encouragement. I have come to have much joy and encouragement in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Philemon, verse 7. Paul wrote the letter which we know as 2 Corinthians, according to chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, to bring about an understanding of just how much the Corinthians cared for Paul and his associates. Paul recognized the encouragement the Corinthians gave him, but he wanted to bring that to the attention of the Corinthians themselves. It is interesting how we so often give encouragement, but do not recognize the gratitude or the gravity of that encouragement until someone points it out. Paul was encouraged by the Corinthians, but he was even happier about the fact that Titus was cheered up by their efforts. Earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, this time, verse number 4, Paul told the Corinthians that he was filled with comfort, filled with encouragement because of them, even while he was enduring affliction. Maybe one of the greatest times in which we need encouragement are the times in which we are facing affliction. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 32, Paul made a request to the brethren at Rome that they join with him in praying for his safety, as he was dealing with some who were non-believers, and that God's people in Jerusalem would also accept his help, which he was offering to them. In order that through the will of God, Paul could come to Rome and to have a visit with them that was full of joy. And his visit with them would cause him to be rested. He was looking for encouragement. Encouragement is necessary for those who lead. Encouragement is necessary for those who follow leaders. Overseers must be able to exhort in sound doctrine, Titus chapter 1 and verse number 9. The term rendered exhort means to encourage. To encourage others through sound doctrine is to admonish them, to build them up. Building Christians up by the means of the proclamation of the true message. Paul used the same word in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13, where it means that one is able to explain the Scriptures, making their meaning and relevance clear. Those who follow leaders need to be encouraged. Paul made a direct appeal to Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 15, exhorting him to use his teaching function with authority and not to allow anyone to undermine him. Titus was to teach the various people within the church community to live with self-control and to live lives of godliness. He was to encourage them to live pure lives in a wicked world. Encouragement is needed by those who follow leaders. Encouragement is necessary for those who will lead after us. When the Israelites refused to trust God and to go on to victory and to take possession of the promised land, they were sentenced to spend the rest of their lives wandering in the wilderness. Moses would not be allowed to enter the promised land either. And so God commanded Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 38, Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter, speaking of the promised land. Encourage him, for he will cause Israel to inherit it. Encourage Joshua. He's going to take up your mantle and continue forward, leading the people to the promised land. After Moses was instructed later in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28 to go up on top of Mount Pisgah and look at all of the promised land, God instructed him again, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go across at the head of the people, and he will give them an inheritance of the land which I will show you. Encouragement is needed for those who will lead after us. Encouragement is necessary for those who assemble and for those who do not assemble. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It seems to be that 25 gets the most attention. But notice the words of verse 24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. The terms one another is supplied for the help of the reader in understanding. But it brings about the question, to encourage them to do what? Encourage them to do, and we're left. We're left with that question. Acceptable explanations are to encourage them to give one another courage. Encourage them to strengthen one another. Encourage them to cause one another to have courage. Encourage them to cause one another to have a strong faith. The intent of the writing is that rather than stay away from gatherings of the church, Christians are instructed to come together and to encourage one another to have the kind of faith that wants to be together, that wants to meet. Encouragement is needed for those who assemble and those who do not assemble. Encouragement is transmitted. It's transmitted by our faith. Paul wanted to visit the Christians in Rome in order to strengthen them spiritually and to encourage them and be encouraged by them. Notice, if you will, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 11, he said, "For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established." Verse 12, that is his explanation, "that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." The word that Paul selected for encouraged, according to the New American Standard Bible, which I read from, is rendered by the King James Version as comforted. It's a unique word. It's only found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 12 in the New Testament. The idea is better given by the English Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, and the New International Version. The idea is that there will be mutual encouragement, mutual edification. Although Paul was an apostle sent by God to proclaim the good news throughout the known world, he valued and would profit from the faith of other believers. Christians mutually encourage one another by how they believe. Encouragement is transmitted also by our words. The name Barnabas has probably already come to the mind of avid Bible students during our discussion this evening, because the name Barnabas translated is Son of Encouragement, Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. Barnabas was one who encouraged others. He encouraged the brethren at Antioch with resolute or purpose of mind to remain true to the Lord, Acts chapter 11, verses 22 to 23. So he used words to encourage them to continue in the faith. Paul compared the Christian family relationship with the relationship between a father and his children when he wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 11, "Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His kingdom and glory." Paul and Barnabas used words to encourage Christians. Encouragement is also transmitted by our singing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 instructs, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching," or instructing, "and admonishing," warning, "one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." The word dwell gives a command that the Christian message must be an integral and permanent living force within the Christian. Not just an outward performance or routine activity observance. So when singing to God with thankfulness in our hearts, the church encourages one another by singing. Encouragement is also transmitted by news of well-being. Paul wrote to the brethren in Ephesus, telling them that Tychicus would make everything about him known to them as far as how he was getting along. In verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, "I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know all about us and that he may comfort or encourage your hearts. Brethren are encouraged by news of how brothers and sisters are doing. Encouragement is dispensed. Encouragement is dispensed with a purpose. A purpose in mind is of continuing in the faith. Judas and Silas went to Antioch, according to Acts chapter 15, with that letter from the council at Jerusalem. They encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message, the intent of which was at least to encourage the Christians to continue on in the faith. Following the conversion of the jailer in the next chapter, Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas visited with the fellow believers in the house of one named Lydia. They visited to encourage the brethren to continue in the faith. The reason for sending Timothy, as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 2, was to send a brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ so that he could strengthen and encourage the Thessalonians as to their faith. Encouragement strengthens faith. Encouragement is dispensed with the purpose of stirring action. David's mighty men in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and verse number 10, gave him strong support concerning his kingdom. Together with all of Israel, they encouraged David to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Encouragement stirred David to lead the people. Encouragement was used by Hezekiah. During the rule of Hezekiah, the king called for all the people to observe the Passover. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse number 22. Then Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites who showed good insight in the things of the Lord. So they ate for the appointed 7 days, sacrificing peace offerings and giving thanks to the God of their fathers. If you continue that reading on through the next few chapters, what you find is that Hezekiah's encouraging words for them to observe the Passover led these pilgrims to joyfully destroy the sites and symbols of pagan worship. As they returned home, they needed encouragement to return to God. Hezekiah's encouragement led them to action. As part of the very thorough reform under the leading of Josiah, he placed priests in their offices and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 2. So he stirred up those who would be in the office of priest to carry out their intended role. Encouragement stirs action. Encouragement is also dispensed with the purpose of uniting, bringing together. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul exhorts or encourages Christians to conduct themselves as they should. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore with the intention of encourage you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to persevere," or preserve rather, "the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." God's saving presence in Christ Jesus encourages us to conduct our lives in such a way that we will preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, we're encouraged to pursue unity. Encouragement brings that unity. Encouragement is also dispensed with the purpose of sharing love. The love of the brethren in Thessalonica was not only known in their city, but also in the surrounding province of Macedonia. Yet Paul urged or encouraged them to excel still more in love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 10. The Thessalonian Christians were encouraged to do even better in loving the brethren. Encouragement shares love. Encouragement is also dispensed with the purpose of teaching. Paul admitted in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 14 that most of the brethren had confidence in the Lord because of his bonds. Although Paul was in prison, the spread of the gospel was not hindered. In fact, if anything, it helped him in spreading the gospel, for he was able to teach the Roman soldiers, those who were with him. Paul's example of teaching the Roman soldiers encouraged the Christians at Rome to witness more boldly. Their confidence in the Lord, brought on by Paul's bonds, gave them far more courage, Paul said, to speak the word of God without fear. Encouragement increases teaching. A little encouragement can go a long way. Christians receive their encouragement through meditating upon the Word of God, the law of God, Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, and also meditating upon the Word of God, Romans chapter 15, and verse number 4. And we need such encouragement because encouraging one another is necessary. It's necessary for helping Christians through this earthly walk. Encouragement is to be transmitted by Christians through their faith, their words, their singing, and even their telling of good news. Encouragement is to be dispensed with the purpose of helping one another to continue in the faith, to stir action, building unity, sharing love, and teaching more people. When Christians need encouragement, they should turn to God's Word, and they should also turn to God's people. In Acts chapter 20, in verse number 32, it is written, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." We ought to encourage one another to turn to God's word for encouragement. We should also encourage one another with the words of God's message. Have you been encouraged to study God's Word? Have you been encouraged to be obedient to the will of God? God's Word tells us that man is sinned, Romans 3 and 23, and that sin has separated us from God, Isaiah 59 and verse 2. So God, in order to restore that relationship, sent His Son, Jesus the Christ, to pay the price, to be the atoning sacrifice, and to allow His blood shed in that sacrifice to justify those who will be saved from the wrath of God against disobedience. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. All who are washed, Revelation 7 and verse 14, are sanctified. They're made holy, and they're justified, that is, declared righteous, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. What encouraging words that we can be forgiven and that we can share in the family of God. To non-Christians tonight, we encourage you to be encouraged by the message of God. Be encouraged to trust God, to repent of sinful ways, to confess the name of Christ, and to be baptized. To those who are Christians, you are to be encouraged to trust in God, to continue in the faith, to submit to God's will, and to find encouragement from others while you yourself is giving encouragement to others. Encouragement is a very interesting concept. It seems to be that we often get as much as we give, and oftentimes we find that we receive more than what we give. But the command is still the same. Give encouragement because it's necessary. Remember that as you give that encouragement, that it is to be transmitted. It must be presented. And when it is dispensed, it is given with purpose. There ought to be purpose behind our encouraging of one another. It may be the case tonight that you need encouragement. If you'll make that known, we'll do our best to assist you. It may be the case that you've been encouraged by the message of God to give your life to Christ. If you're ready to make that great commitment, we'll do all we can to assist you in that as well. Our encouragement to you is that you consider and respond favorably to the message of God's grace as we stand and as we sing.